Het harde kerst er hebben we koningin. Voor het gaat trekken en rood en beetje op in de schaar. Voor ons is het maaien. Het laat om nu de kwaad. Yippie-ae. Riders in the sky. Ghost riders in. Ghost riders in the sky.
Go
right,
15 years old sitting in the audience with your freaking air guitar out ready to go, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah, that's, I mean, that they are the greatest air guitar band probably of all time.
Which one were you? Did you flop around?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, it didn't matter. That's the great thing with the Outlaws, you know, they were all kind of mutually indistinguishable. Maybe that's why they didn't, you know, they ended up with a four lead guitar band, you know, they're all okay.
You can be okay. You can be the guitar. Okay, you can be the guitar
right.
player.
Who's going to be? Well.
So you're 15 years old and you're playing air guitar in the crowd and you're still playing air guitar now, huh?
Oh heck yeah. We're talking about air.
Did you get any better?
Oh yeah. Oh man, I'm ripping it up on air guitar now. Really hitting those notes cleanly.
Have you ever been in a contest?
No. No. My daughter won a karaoke contest the other day.
Really? At Noodles?
No, it was in Fairbanks.
Right. What do you get for winning a karaoke contest?
No. That sounds like a lead to a joke.
It could be. You never know. Yeah. So then if mom picks you up afterwards, too?
Yeah.
She dumped you off at the ticket booth. Did she take you to the concert, too?
I think as I recall, we ended up wandering down by the river. Everyone did everything by the river back then. You know, we probably, I think we met some friends down by the river and probably had a six pack or something. That would have been kind of typical.
Yeah.
Then you have your mom pick you up.
Afterwards. Yeah. So it went well enough to where they let you go again, huh?
Yeah, although, really, honestly, couldn't hear anything the next day. I mean, seriously, you know, the ears were ringing and, you know, what? And my mom was like, oh, no. But, yeah, we did get to go to the next one, though.
So did you trudge on home and grab your Outlaws records and stick it on full blast? But you couldn't hear it, so what point would that have been?
Yeah, that was one thing we did. We played everything really, really loud back then, and it was loud even for us.
So Redding, that's like some sort of backwater community, I mean, compared to the power city of Sacramento up there?
Yeah, their only real claim to fame is it's where all the gold miners moved to when they moved away from Old Shasta. Because the railroad went through there. So basically, its claim to fame is just right in the middle of the top of the valley.
Is it a farming community, hunting, or forestry?
You know, there was a lot of forestry. It really has gone down to almost nothing. And there's always a little ranching and farming, pretty rural. But what it does mainly is it's a hub, because all of the little communities around Northern California go there to shop, and all the, you know, all the main businesses are there, so the big mechanics.
So you weren't like out of the way. I mean, you're like going to Spokane.
Oh no. For Northern California, Redding's big town.
Pretty hot.
Oh yeah.
So you got constant acts coming in there.
We had a cruise. There was like a quarter mile circular. Yeah, it was like a quarter mile circular area in Redding. And everybody would take their car and go around and around and around and around, just like American Graffiti.
That was so weird, you know? I never
grew
up. Yeah,
looking back, that was very odd behavior.
I never grew up with anything like that. And when I moved to Spokane for the first time, it was the first time I ever saw that. I thought, man, that went out of style in the 50s. What is this deal? But you guys still did it. So was that your Friday night?
A lot of times it was. Yeah, it always ended up with the police pulling you over and then letting you go, or in some parking lot, making some sort of fainting jets and sharks gestures at some other people in a car that you'd been flipping off, you know.
So. Life as a teenager, isn't it a beautiful thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your next big recollection of after Outlaws, where do you go?
Then we started to go, after we got a little older and we could drive and we got to be like 16, 17, 18, we can go to the Bay Area and really see some shows there. And we saw Jethro Tull 3 times. Every time they were just amazing, marvelous. I mean, they really put on a well-crafted show and obviously rehearsed for a year or whatever to get that good. And, you know, one thing about the Jethro Tull was it was always different. So you never heard any song would sound different, but obviously really, really well-practiced. I mean, they're hitting their marks. But like we saw REM, and the great thing about REM is it's just like the record. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they are almost dead on, and you got to kind of give them a credit for being able to be that, you know. But I mean, you could put on the REM record from the album, and it sounded almost exactly like what we heard in concert.
I hated that.
Yeah,
it
was
a
little disappointing.
I absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to concerts so I could see them stretch out a song, and they could do solos that they, you know, if a 4-minute song turned into a 12-minute song, it got cool.
Right. So we went to this one Tull concert, and my friend Evan is always a bit of a skinflint, and he said, oh, I got a great deal on these tickets, and they're like $5 or something. It's amazing. I mean, you could actually get a $20 ticket back then, but these were like $5, and they're like, how did you do this, Evan?
Because
you're
outside of the stadium.
Well, it was at the Oakland Coliseum, and they actually have 2 Oakland Coliseums, or did back then. One was a little smaller for more music or inside venues, and the other big one for football, or we saw Pink Floyd in the big one. But the little one had a tarp that went across the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And our seats were so high, we could just reach up and touch the tarp. The tarp is right over our heads. So we were actually kind of dropping things on the other side of the tarp, you know, all the way down the side of the Coliseum. And when Evan brought binoculars and a telescope, we should have been clued, right? He's like, yeah, they're right up here. We keep going up and up and up to the seats. We're like, Evan, really? No. He's like, oh, yeah. But, you know, the sound was great up there, too.
Really?
Yeah, they had mounted speakers all around. Because Ian Anderson, right, is really into the flute thing that he does, where he makes he's able to make his flute thing go around and around and around the stadium. And apparently you need speakers that are hooked up, you know, in various positions all around the stadium. So we actually had a speaker, like, right next to us.
Cool.
Which was cool.
$5.
So we're in there, and we have a great old time and just having a wonderful time. And we get to go back out, and we're, of course, we're all the way up at the top, so we're filing out, and everybody, I mean, so, I mean, going, getting in is like, everyone's running. Getting out, everyone's like staggering and slow and bottlenecking, and we finally get out there, and we get out to the parking lot, and we mill around, we're looking for Evan's car, which was this bright orange rabbit with the gray spots on it, where this fly-by-night Bondo team had talked him into putting this stuff on his car. Then he went to get it painted, and they said, "That's not Bondo. That's not, I think that's concrete." So they had this bright orange rabbit with leopard concrete spots on it. You know,
nice.
And we couldn't find it. We couldn't find
Impossible.
It. We're looking all over in this huge, huge parking lot. Everybody else is driving
Got
away.
Jacked.
Everybody else is driving away. Well, that's what we thought. Who would steal a bright orange rabbit with gray leopard spots, you know? And so we're looking around like, what the hell? It's empty. Yeah, the parking lot is empty. And it's this vast, vast parking lot. There's acres and acres and acres. And there's literally not a car in it. We're like, oh, my God. I mean, somebody stole our car. And we're sort of like, what are we going to do? I mean, we're in Oakland without our rabbit.
Not a good idea.
You know? And we're like looking around. And I go, okay, you guys. Okay. I just had this weird idea. What if there is another parking lot? Like another dimension, kind of like on the other side, you know, it's like another dimension, you know, and they're like real skeptical, like, no, I don't know. I go, what do we got to lose? I say, we go back to where we came from, go back to the Coliseum, go back to our seats, and we'll find. So we go, we trudge back up, we go all the way up to the Coliseum, and as we crest the rise, we see that indeed there is another huge parking lot, and right in the middle of it is this orange dot. It's the last car in the parking lot. It's like we ran down the slope, like, you know, oh my God.
Awesome.
Anyway, yeah, Jethro Tull, it was really a great show.
The Orange Rabbit. Like in 1972.
Yeah. You know, it was a great little car.
Hey, my wife still claims that the little yellow rabbit she had back in the '80s, when I knew her, that she bought in the early '70s, was the greatest car she ever had.
Yeah, you know, it was zippy too. And you know, for I mean, just a little box. I mean, literally the boxiest car ever.
Yeah, great handling,
and quite a bit of room inside too. Really,
man, it was way nicer looking than a Pacer.
Well, no, don't be talking down the Pacer. Next,
you're
gonna
one?
Say you don't like Gremlins.
Did you have a Gremlin?
No, my friend had a Gremlin.
I had a Valiant.
With the push button?
65 Valiant.
The push button?
I don't even remember. I don't think so. I think it was like a 3 on the column or some such deal. Mm. Little wheel in the back.
All right. Call in and pledge. Shut us up. 486-3181.
We'll tell more stories. I'm having a good time telling stories. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'll toast you all. Let me bring you all things of mind. Galliard, it's a blue song served in chilling ale. Greetings, well met, bell or hail. I am the wind to fill your sail. I am the cross to take your nail. A singer of these aimless times. With kitchen prose and gutter rhyme.
Now then, let's see if we can spot the over 25s in the audience. See if you remember this one.
one by one. This woman and his best friend.
You know what this is making me want to do? This is making me want to go to a show.
I know.
Talking to Angie Lee, you know, made me want to jump in the time back, way back machine so I can go back in time to actually enjoy some of the stuff I went to and kind of remember what it was.
Well, you know, live music is one of those things that almost everybody enjoys.
Yeah.
You know, it's something about it. It's different, too. You just don't quite get, you can't get it off a record. You know, in some bands, they can't quite capture that live sound or feeling on a record, you know, just can't do it.
Well, we had this discussion yesterday about the difference between performance arts and people who'd lay it down, you know, and there mm-hmm. were some bands that just were way better at performing in front of a crowd and building off energy and mm-hmm. Making it an incredible experience for you. And some people just sort of, you know, it's sit in your chair and listen to it and it's not quite as good. But Jethro Tull is definitely one of those bands that we could bring you out.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously Ian has a lot to do with how he gets the show, but I think High Energy has got to be one of his main, I mean, every show I saw just kept clipping along.
It's amazing that, you know, they could do that for so many years for so many shows, too.
Yeah, and that Barrymore Barlow, what a musician he is. He played with him for a long time. And then he had a keyboard guy, too. And one of the shows, they really featured him. And, you know, I guess they were just really into electronics and keyboards. But, and like you say, it wasn't just a guy sitting there, you know, me. You know, it was this guy was really laying on these great organs, you know, and making all these great sounds.
So you saw him three times. Do you remember which tours you saw?
No. In fact, you know, to tell the truth, they kind of meld together, you know, after all these years. You know, I remember that one was a lot more guitar-oriented. The other was, like I say, had some great keyboard parts. And the other was, you know, him playing the flute was definitely front and center.
Well, the deal on the internet, you know, is that you can go back now and try and look at set lists from years before. And really, after so much time has passed, I have a hard time picking out which one I actually went to.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Who was playing as the, I mean, do you remember any of the opening acts?
Well, yeah, we were just talking about Uriah Heep. You know, I heard somebody's favorite live band, and, you know, they opened for Jethro Tull on one of those occasions.
And it was an unfortunate opening.
Yeah, and they even had some people down front with a huge Heap sign that were dancing around, and I was pretty excited. We were really jazzed to see Uriah Heep and then Jethro Tull. And they came on, and it was literally the worst band I've ever seen live. They were awful. It was a terrible train wreck. I mean, they must have been, I don't know. I mean, I hate to speculate, but
yeah.
Let's just say incapacitated.
They could have been.
And even the guys with the signs sat way down.
You know? Put the sign down.
Put the sign away.
So I'm no longer a Uriah Heep fan.
Yeah, but we were disappointed. But you know that one thing, and they completely fell apart. They didn't even get through a whole set. And Jethro Tull whisked out there early before they were supposed to start and started up. So I, you know, again, you had to kind of handle, you had to hand it to the professionalism of the Tull band.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always happened. I mean, people have come in so far and told stories about the guy who comes in and is the headliner and falls apart, and other people come right. in or in Sly and the Family Stone's case, I've seen him a bunch of times. He either didn't show up or he showed up an hour late and the band supported him. I went to a show with John Prine as a headliner in 1974. And John Prine, let's put it this way. The opening act was incredible. The second act, John Hartford, was stunningly good. John Prine came out and he was so screwed up that he couldn't remember the songs, the lyrics of the songs. But the other two came out and propped him up, and it was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen.
Wow.
So, you know, there's always that beauty in musicianship and putting on a show for the people who plunked out the dough for a ticket to save the day and give people what they pay for.
Well, my usually. Wife and I went to the first Lollapalooza. It was in the Bay Area, featuring Jane's Addiction, mm-hmm. who were terrific. And Ice Cube's band was amazingly good. That whole lineup was really good. But we were surprised that the show was completely taken and blown away by the middle band, which was the Butthole Surfers.
Really?
Yeah, they were amazing. I mean, they were really, really good. And I turned to my wife and I said, well, this is how they get away with having a name. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it was a good band, you know. Yeah. They have to overcome the moniker, which everybody thought was sort of a joke.
Right. No, they were musically, they were very impressive. Played an excellent series, actually.
So what is I saw Lollapalooza last summer in Chicago, but when was this? When did the thing start?
Oh, it's so long ago now. Isn't it like 20 of them they've had now? I hate to admit. My wife and I were young. We had flowers in our hair.
Where was it? Oh, really?
No, it was at the it was in the Bay Area at the what's it called? It's a big open spot in Mountain View. Something like Fairline or something like that. But yeah, it's in Mountain View, California. They actually have quite a few things there because it's enormous.
Hmm.
It's a big, and that was neat because it had the kind of the rolling grassy hills that went away in an amphitheater-like thing. But yeah, that was the first mosh pit I ever saw. This giant swirling black hole of people, and it's, who is it? We were with this younger my wife's cousin. She goes, "You want to go down and get in the mosh pit?" What?
Really?
I don't understand why anyone would. I mean, you could see people getting their clothes torn off, and people are getting flung up in the air.
This is a good idea.
It was cool to watch, though.
Oh yeah, you know. If you're on the periphery, that's okay. Yeah. You know, it's like being in the front row for the Blue Man Group.
Right.
That ain't happening.
Right. Gallagher. I got front row tickets.
All right. So you got Tom Petty lined up here. Why you got Tom Petty lined up?
Well, I don't know. I was thinking of going maybe to Pink Floyd next.
Oh, you're going to go to the Pink Floyd.
I was thinking.
Because we got 9 minutes here to get into the news for Jay.
Okay. Then we should just go right to the Floyd. And this one, I went with my wife with this one, too. It was very fun because it was in the Bay Area, but you always have to worry about transportation when you go to the show, unless you go on one of these buses, right? So we get the ticket for Floyd. I remember it was $100 with the bus ride and everything. So, you know, at the time, it was a lot of money. But we went and got in the parking lot, and they had this sign out in front of the bus that said, you know, no beverages, no anything. Basically, no anything,
yeah.
You know? And but I had my ice chest all packed up. I mean, hell, I'm going on a bus. But I mean, this is the whole reason, you know. And I was like, I got my ice chest in my hand, you know. And my wife said, "A sign." And, yeah, you know, I don't see that sign. And nobody, the bus driver, He's wearing these big dark sunglasses. He saw nothing. There's so many ice chests went on that bus. I mean, everybody's packing. And then when we got going, he had this little curtain. And he sort of chewed the curtain as soon as he started driving towards the Bay Area. And the bus just turned into like this retro Following the Dead party. You know, it just exploded. It's like, wow, this is pretty cool.
The bus ride. Yeah. But,
and then, yeah, that was a great show. And the Pink Floyd, man, what a show they put on. I mean, they must have the equipment that they must haul around. It must be like a train of trucks going down the freeway. Because, I mean, they had all these impressive things, including this giant 100-foot towers with these huge animated pig heads on them. Have you ever seen this? And the pig heads, the ears go back and forth, and the eyes are these giant searchlights, and then the head bobs up and down. And the whole thing is to one of these days. You know, and so the whole thing's the pig heads are going back up and down and up and wildly, and the searchlight eyes are going off into the audience. Every once in a while, the searchlights go over you, you know. So it was really impressive. And you're like, wow, that's cool. And all of a sudden, one of them falls off the tower.
Really?
And literally topples off the tower, falls 100 feet to the ground. God. And this looks like, oh no, you know, is this bad? Is this going to start a riot or something? And then the other one falls off too. Just as the song is ending, we realize that they do this every show.
Oh.
They push these giant heads off these towers at every show. I mean, who came up with this idea?
Bright, you know.
I'm thinking somebody
died, you know, and they keep playing the rest of the show.
The whole audience thinks it's a terrible disaster. So right. Of course, you know, you're like, oh, the whole audience is, yay. But yeah, it was pretty good. Well, I better start it if Jay's going to do the news. It takes them a while to get going. It's Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd.
Still.
We're skipping through the clapping.
See, they're just starting to make noises now. We're already 33 seconds into the song. Let me jump again. Here we go. And, you know, it's funny for such a technical band. It's like we were talking about how a lot of bands, you know, they really go with the crowd, and you can tell they really kind of, you know, is the thing. Pink Floyd was really that way. You know, you can see they're just sitting there playing this kind of this rhythm or whatever. But you can see they really kind of went with the, they were really into
how the crowd was responding,
yeah,
to the
crowd
beginning.
Going with the yeah. whole, very theatrical.
Yeah. So we got a pig head bobbing.
Yeah. So the pig head starts bobbing.
Nice.
And you're, and then they had this giant screen behind the stage, this big oval screen that they were showing all these trippy movies that they'd obviously made beforehand, all these like avant-garde. Strange eyeballs and eagles swooping down and flames and all this great stuff, you know. So, yeah, they really gave you a lot to look at. Now, that was one thing about Pink Floyd, you know, like the band was like almost, you could see them. But, you know, I mean, they weren't really like, you know, Appetite for Destruction style.
No pyrotechnics. Roles.
No real lead man almost. Even their vocals were kind of, you know, in the background or sort of submerged with the whole rest of the sound, I guess.
You have those big arenas. I mean, you're in an arena, right?
Yeah.
This is probably, what, 40,000 people?
Yeah, this was in the big Oakland Coliseum.
Oh.
And here again, these guys, they put speakers everywhere. I mean, there were speakers mounted around the rim of the Coliseum, at a secondary level, inside the infield where they would be for the baseball field, and then also in all of the back of the stage.
Is this at nighttime?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a nighttime concert. So, yeah, I mean, the effects, you must have been able to see this thing from miles away.
Really? You know, what's beautiful about that, having been in Kodiak for so long, that you can actually have a show outside, and, you know, it goes on.
Yeah, right. You go to a place like this, but it's just like, wow.
You know, how many times have we been out there at the fairgrounds in July and August where, you know,
yeah.
you got your rain gear on and it's pouring and the magicians are always wondering whether they're going to get fried.
That would be a good trick, though. Zap!
Oh. Don't worry, it's just the pig head coming down.
Right? You could get a giant salmon head. Around here.
Salmon Fest, yeah.
Yeah, it was a great show. And then our chaperone was right there, our quote-unquote chaperone. You know, we had the bus driver, and then there was this guy who was supposed to be our chaperone. And as he explained before we left, you know, that there's only so much indemnity that, you know, they were insured for, so he had to make sure that nobody went too far off the rails.
Right.
And he sat down right next to us. His seats were right next to my wife, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we're sitting next to the chaperone. So,
you're the bad kids.
It was no problem, though. It turns out the chaperone was quite the party guy.
Really?
Yeah, he was.
Sure, I'll be the chaperone. Yeah, that'll be fun.
I think if you did something that this chaperone didn't approve of, oh boy. You know, my stepbrother went to the same show on a different night, and he said that it was a great quote. He goes, "Even though I knew I wouldn't remember any of it, it would be an experience I never forgot."
I think we can relate to that pretty much. So, you still go to shows?
Not as much as I'd like to, you know, to get out there and go to more.
Well, you got your own show on the back deck now, right?
Yeah.
And you got your own show on the radio at 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
I got a harmonica. It's just tough to get a venue. Tough to get a venue.
Huh.
It's more like they sweep you away.
We put you on harmonica hour. We give you 15 minutes a week.
I was thinking of doing a thing where I played harmonica during a fundraiser and promised to stop if they would pledge.
Hey, well, if we're only a little bit over halfway after a week here, right, we might need you next week. But you're out cod fishing now, right?
Yeah, well, we're out black cod fishing and halibut fishing right now.
Fishing's good.
It's been pretty good. It's not bad.
Price is good?
Prices are good.
More fish?
We need
more
better
concert money.
We could use a better price. Oh, Jay's looking at me. Jay is literally staring at me. Oh, my gosh. That is
He's intense. Ready. He wants to come in and do some news.
That's like a Superman lasers coming out of the eyeballs look.
But you know what that means? That means we're going to have to boogie on out of here because it's a half a minute before 12 o'clock.